Well, welcome to our all-age parade service on Mother's Day. We worship God, the King of creation, and our first song encourages all of creation to worship its maker. Today is a special day, isn't it? Anyone know why it's a special day? It's Mother's Day. Has anyone done anything this morning for their mum? Well, I got a card from the dog today, so well done, dog. That's because I cook him carrots every day. And for some people, Mother's Day is a great day, isn't it? It's a great day to celebrate when they get presents or they might get taken out for a meal. But for some people, it's a day of sadness. Maybe their mum has died, perhaps they've lost a child or never been able to have children or didn't get on with their mums. And when they receive their flower today, it might get put on a grave a bit later. And that always feels a bit strange, doesn't it? That the same thing can make some of us really happy and some of us really sad. But do you know, the Bible says to us, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So be happy with those who are happy and be sad and comfort those who are sad.
So Exodus 20, and I'm starting at the first verse. And God spoke all these words. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. You shall not cover your neighbour's house, you shall not cover your neighbour's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, or his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. This is the word of the Lord.
What did Nick miss out? It's verse number two, isn't it? Yeah, Nick missed out verse number two. And I think that's because, well, I asked him to do that, because often we launch into the Ten Commandments and we don't really think about verse two. But verses one and two, very short, but actually, we really need to take notice of what they say, because they really help us to understand the Ten Commandments. So here it is here, we're going to read it now, so we haven't really missed it out. I'm going to read it now, and this is what it says. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So, three things we can learn from this verse. That's good, isn't it? It's a very short verse, but you learn three things from it. First question, who does God say he is in this verse? Who does God say he is? Theo?
The Lord.
Yeah, the Lord. God says, I am the Lord. That means he is God on the throne of the whole universe. He's king over everything. So you know what? He does have the right to make the rules. He does. That's what it means to be God. He is the Lord over the whole universe, and he's the rightful ruler. Okay, keep looking. Thank you. Let's go back to the verse just so we can see that. Question number two. Who does God say he wants to have a relationship with? Who does God say he wants to have a relationship with in this verse? Jacob. Yeah, well, who's he speaking to here? Yeah, how do we know that? Brought them out of Egypt. And what? How does he say it? He says, I am the Lord, your God. Yeah, that's really important, isn't it? He says, I am the Lord, your God. Not anyone else's God. I'm your God. I belong to you. You belong to me. And that means that God is a God who wants to know us. He's a relational God, or a God who's ready to know us. And then thirdly, what does God say he has done in this verse? What has he done in this verse? Jonathan? Brilliant. He brought them out of Egypt. He rescued them. Okay, let's have a look at all of those three if we go down to the next, and then the next slide, and the next one. There we go. So God is, that verse tells us three important things, doesn't it? God is the rightful ruler, he's ready to know you, and he's a rescuer. That is the God we need to think about before we even look at the Ten Commandments. This is the kind of God he is. And that maybe helps us understand a bit more who God is and why he has the right to make the rules. But there's more. We're not finished with verse 2 yet. Such a bargain, this verse. You get so many things out of one little verse. I'm Scottish, I like that. You got a lot of things for not very much. But more to learn. And this time, it's to do with the order things come in. Now, sometimes the order you do things in doesn't matter, okay? Milk in first or tea in first. Universe isn't going to stop, okay? Whether you file your Kylie Minogue CDs under K for Kylie or M for Minogue doesn't really matter, does it, Will? We had a big discussion about that. But some things, the order is very important. Whether you put your jam or your cream first on your scone, for some people, that's a deal breaker. Jam or cream, cream and jam. I'm not going to get into that here. And if you're Superman, the order you put on your outer and underwear is highly important. But here's a question in verse 2. Does verse 2, it's not a trick question, okay? Does verse 2 come before or after verses 3 to 17? Not a trick question. Does verse 2 come before or after verses 3 to 17? Simon? Thank you, Simon. Well done, top of the class. Okay? But you know, that is a really important thing to notice. That verse 2 that tells us who God is and that he's a rescuing God comes before we get the Ten Commandments. Now, I need three helpers just to come and hold something for me. Jacob, Theo, and next to Jacob, what's your name? Toby, you come. Right, can you hold one of these each? Okay, can you, actually, Toby, can you go this side just now? You swap places with Toby and you go that side of Theo. Okay, now you see, if verse 2 came after verses 3 to 17, it would mean we got the rules and then we got the rescue. Now, you might not think much of that, but that would mean we would have to keep all God's rules before he would rescue us. And I'm sure most of us here, if we're very, very honest, would say, actually, well, I can't keep all the Ten Commandments. I could do quite a good job, but, you know, I can't keep them all. And that would be really sad, wouldn't it? If we had to keep all the rules before God would rescue us, then we'd all be in a really sad state. Because none of us can keep the rules. But, because as Simon's just told us, verse 2 comes before verses 3 to 17. Jacob and Toby, if you can swap places, you stay where you are, Theo. The rescue comes before God gives us the rules. And that is the greatest news. You know, we should have a little cheer at this. Hooray! Okay, because God says, you know what, I'm going to rescue my people first before I give them rules. God rescues us. Do you know what that means, people? That means we don't need to keep rules to get to heaven. This is the best news ever. We could stop here. I'm not going to stop here, but we could stop here because this is the best news ever. God rescues us before he gives us rules to obey. And that is something, if you remember nothing else about today, please remember this. It's so important. God rescues us before he gives us rules, which means to get into heaven, you just need to be rescued. You don't have to have kept all the rules. That's pretty mind-blowing, isn't it? Thank you very much, my beautiful helpers. You can sit down. Yeah, give them a clap. Thank you. So, God rescues us before he gives rules. And that helps us in two really helpful ways to think about the Ten Commandments. Because there's ways that we think wrongly about the Ten Commandments. One of them is, if you've ever thought, oh, I've broken the commandments, I'll never get to heaven, then stop right there, because knowing God and getting into heaven does not depend on keeping the Ten Commandments. Remember the order. Acknowledging you need rescuing and being rescued by God is what will get you a place in heaven. And number two, the Ten Commandments are for God's rescued people. Remember, rescue and then commandments. So if you're not one of God's rescued people, you're off the hook. Relax, because they're for God's rescued people. So what are the Ten Commandments for then? Well, we're going to try and answer that question in a minute. So what are the Ten Commandments for? If we can have our next picture, here we go. Now, have a look at that picture. Tell me what you think might be going on there. Anyone know who those people are in the uniforms or in the... Anyone know? Yeah? Yeah, they have. Well done, yeah. They are the RNLI. You can just see it on the boats there. Okay, they're the Lifeboat Institution, Royal National Lifeboat Institution, and they patrol the waters around our country, and they go out and rescue people who get stuck at sea. And as you can see, there's a man right in the middle, and he's not wearing uniform. Why not? He's been rescued, yeah. He was a fisherman who'd been swept out to sea and actually almost died. They got him on the boat, and they had to give him mouth-to-mouth and chest compressions, and they managed to rescue him. Why do you think he's come back to visit them? This was a bit after the rescue, but why do you think he's come back to visit them? Yeah, to say thank you. You would, wouldn't you? If you'd been rescued, someone had saved your life. There was another picture. There was a big picture of him hugging the lady who'd given him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And you would, wouldn't you? If you'd been rescued, if your life had been saved, you would want to go back and say thank you. And you see it if you watch Saving Lives at Sea, which is a program all about the RNLI. People go back. Some people go back and just give them a hug or a handshake. Some people go back with a check. You know, they've raised money because they're really glad. Some people even say, actually, I'm going to train to be a crew member of the RNLI. That's how much I want to say thank you for rescuing me. And you know, the Ten Commandments are a way for God's rescued people, because remember, rescue comes first before the commandments. The Ten Commandments are a way for God's rescued people to say thank you to God for his rescue. Because he rescued them first, and then he said, this is how I want you to live. God, it's a way of saying thank you to God for being our rescuer. We don't give him a check, we don't bring him a box of chocolates, but he says, this is how I want you to live as my people. And it was a great way to live, isn't it? Just look at that. As I was preparing this and I was reading through the Ten Commandments, I was looking at some headlines. And as I scrolled through the headlines, I suddenly thought, you know, if we all lived in the way of the Ten Commandments, none of these headlines would be here. There'd be no war in Gaza and Ukraine. There'd be no families falling out over inheritance money. There'd be no neighbours going to court over stealing land and building hedges in the wrong place. There'd be no celebrity marriages on the rocks because one of them had been texting inappropriately. None of these things would be there if we were living out God's way. So how did it work out for God's people? The very ones who'd walked between the walls of water of the Red Sea. I mean, if you'd been there, can you imagine that? Remember, that's how they were rescued. God blew the sea apart. The walls of the sea were standing up and they walked through on dry land. I mean, how grateful would you be to have been rescued from Egypt, from slavery? Shouldn't you be grateful? Yeah. How grateful do you think you'd be? Very. Yeah, quite. Thank you, Theo. Yeah, Theo says this much grateful. You would, wouldn't you? You've been rescued. So you think, yes, they've been rescued. It was an amazing rescue. That's going to help them. They're really going to try their hardest and they're going to keep the Ten Commandments. Do you know what happened? What happened? They did not keep the Ten Commandments. You're absolutely right. They did not keep the Ten Commandments. They tried. Well, some of them tried. Some of them didn't really try. And they failed. Now, it wasn't the fault of the Ten Commandments. We might think, oh, well, God, you set the bar too high with your Ten Commandments. The Bible says, no, it wasn't the Ten Commandments at fault. It was, if we can go on to the next, and the next slide. What's the problem? It's a problem inside us, isn't it? It was a problem inside them. Even though God had rescued them and they were really grateful, they couldn't keep the Ten Commandments. There's a problem with our hearts that means we can't keep the Ten Commandments. And we're going to sing about that now. We're going to sing that there is a problem for all of us in our hearts, but there's also good news that there's someone who can help. There's a mighty, mighty Saviour. Let's stand and sing. Do sit down. That's good news, isn't it? There is a mighty Saviour. So what are the Ten Commandments for? Well, if we have our next slide. There we go. Right, can anyone solve that equation for me? So hoping there's not a maths genius here today. Okay, what happens if you get a really tricky maths equation like that at school? What would you do? Apart from giving up, what else could you do? Go on to the next one, or what else could you do? Give it a go, and then if you still got stuck, what could you do? Say that again, Ian. Ask for help. Yeah, if the teacher gives you a really tricky calculation and you're just like, you've given it a go, that's always good advice, Theo, give it a go, but then you're still stuck, just stick hand up and say, I really need help with this. Okay? And God, the Ten Commandments make us do that. They make us go, oh, you know what, I've given it a go, as Theo said, but I can't do it. God says, that's okay, I want you to come to me. God says, come to me, stick your hand up and go, I need help. I need help with this. And God says, I will help you. And he makes the most amazing promise. We can have our next slide. This is what God said. This is the covenant, that's a promise that I will make, declares the Lord. I will put my law, not on bits of stone, but in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. God says, I'm going to help you with the Ten Commandments. They were written on stone, but what does it say here? Where's God going to write them this time? On our hearts. Okay. God writes. Thank you, Miles. God writes the Ten Commandments on our hearts. They're still there, still the same rules. But God says, I'm going to write them on your heart. Do you know what that means? That means instead of us going, oh no, I've got this big list of commandments to follow and I can't do it. I've tried really hard. It's like that maths problem. I can't do it. God says, no. I'll rescue you. I'll give you a new heart. And then I'll write my commandments on your heart. And that means that we'll love God and we'll want to obey him. Doesn't mean to say we'll get it right, but it means God gives us that ability to start obeying him and to want to obey him, because that's the difference, isn't it? Sometimes we look at these and think, oh, but when God writes them on our hearts, we start to go, you know, I want to say thank you to God. I want to obey him. I want to try and live his way of blessing. Because they are great rules, actually, aren't they? If we all lived like this, life would be so lovely. Okay? And God says, I will give you a change in your heart. I'll rescue you, and then I want you to live out my commandments, but I will help you to do it. That's what he really says. I'm going to help you to do it. How amazing is that? Told you it was good news, didn't I? It's not keeping the Ten Commandments that gets us to heaven, but it's living out the Ten Commandments that shows we belong to God, that we're rescued by him and we're grateful. But he will enable us to do that. He changes our hearts so that we can keep his commands and live his way. And he forgives us when we mess up. That's great news, isn't it? It said that at the end of the verse. He forgives us when we mess up. So when we say, help, Lord, I can't keep the Ten Commandments in my own strength, he says, don't worry. I'll give you a change of heart. I'll rescue you. I'll forgive you. I'll change your heart. And then you'll want to start obeying me. God makes it possible for us to love him and begin to obey his commands and live his way. And I think that's great news.